tax revenue.
I mean, that's the only way we could possibly do it, and that's 2 years from now. So, I mean, it's a great solution, but without knowing where the funding is coming from, we can't do it. I don't see how it can be done. I mean, it is a solution. But then we can also, my first question is, what do our communities want for a fire service? I mean, you have to start at a basic thing. I mean, I knew how to do a tax thing. We could do it just for Oceana. Whether it can be passed, I don't know. I wouldn't bring it up to Oceana right now that got tapped for a whole year's worth of sanitation board or sanitation services on their property taxes. But, I mean, so it's a great solution. Maybe we can do it temporarily and go back and look. We don't have a budget. We haven't looked at the budget for next year. We haven't got 2 year or 3 year budget. I mean, I don't have any solutions, but that's the point. There is no solution at this time.
Okay.
And we talked about it and talked about it and talked about it. I have two members of my board that feel a reserve program could be successful. So okay. I mean, that's my first challenge, is my board members say, why doesn't reserve programs? So anyway, there's work. There's kind of where I am in very general terms, but I just wanted you to know that we spent 2 hours in a special meeting going over all this. And this is our working outline.
So I have comments, but I'll wait and see if you want to think anyone can know.
Yeah. I suppose we just kind of keep general public. Yeah. Public comment?
Good morning. Tom Huey, 5 Cities Firefighters, Local 4403. Little perspective on the locals' opinion on this and the reserve program is that this is our fire department, with the exception of four people that are on the fires right now. We have worked this reserve program basically to its failing point at this time. Our observations are that this is an ongoing training issues that we continually have. We do now have the open recruitment, which apparently we have two more folks that might be in the pipeline for hire. But just over the last year, we've lost four personnel to full-time jobs or moved on to other things. And what we know of right now is that we're able to pick up an additional two. That's not counting the fact that they're going to be starting an academy here in January that is 4 weeks long now. Due to local, state, and federal regulations on training, is that this is an ongoing training. It takes 4 weeks just to get them through the basic orientation of our department. With that, they are on a shadow program for an additional 4 weeks, up to 2 months, depending on how they are grasping their job tasks. Then they're assigned to the floor. So, really saying that it could be up anywhere to 2 to 3 months until these reserves hit the floor. That's not counting that they're potentially going to get picked up. We've had our ongoing issue of guys getting picked up. We're training them. They're staying with us for a year, and then we're losing them to other full-time departments around us. So that just, for us, it's like Groundhog Day. Training and not being able to retain our personnel, and they're good people that are leaving our agency that would be best fitted for us right here. Part of the other things that to take in consideration is that the overtime that's causing our department and the ongoing strain of bringing on guys on overtime to train new personnel, that's not counting the fact that we have open positions now where we have full-time personnel filling these spots. I know Chief Lieberman talked about a little bit about that of the ongoing costs and working people on overtime. Well, what ends up happening is that we end up getting our guys injured because, you know, we can only take so much and expose to so many things. It's flu season. Our guys, we've had guys that's gone down on fires yesterday. We don't even know what happened with the firefighter yesterday, but with it being 14-day assignments, could there have something been prevented that he's been on duty for 14 days working a fire and now he's lost his life? We don't know that until the investigation's over with. But that can happen here. That can happen here. One of the things also is the soft cost of hiring personnel is that you have background checks, you have medical physicals, you have PPE and uniform costs that everybody's different sizes, so all those things are purchased and acquired for these firefighters that could potentially leave in a year or not even pass probation. And as well as the ongoing renewal costs of EMT certification, as well as CPR training. Now I can stay here, standing here as a member of our elected official board on the e-board that we have already met with our e-board with on the local level. We've also had the opportunity to talk to Chief Lieberman, and we are in full support of making some drastic changes in our organization and moving forward with picking up full-time people. And that if you have any concern whatsoever about meet and confer, is that we already have a firefighter two in place from the SAFER grant, and that we've already looked at that, as well as that we've contacted our legal counsel on our local side, and they are very well aware of this. So we're ready to move forward, and we're in absolute total support of this happening. And we're willing to help in any way that we can to come up with a solution to make this thing happen quicker or sooner. So thank you guys very much for your support.
Anyone else?
Okay. So I think I was the one who had made the motion last time, because I believe there was a compelling argument made, and I think Barbara, you were actually helpful in making the case that we are adding in an urgent situation with regards to the reserve firefighters program. As Tom said, they've worked it to the point of failure. And so even though we don't typically use reserve funds for ongoing budgets, it's a one-time expense typically. I had said then, if this is an urgent situation, then we need to use the reserve to cover this, to convert to the full-time, to three full-time firefighters. And I still believe that to be the case. And the use of reserve funds is a policy decision that we make. Let's be clear. The chief can make whatever recommendations he wants. We are the body that makes those decisions. So I would say the reason I suggested using reserve funds, because the case was made that this is an urgent situation. And I understand your challenges in Oceano, that we utilize funds that are still available in this fiscal year to start that process. That gives the member organizations a chance when they go through the normal budgeting processes to find out how they find more money. Whether that's Mr. Ogren taking less money for we can give more to the firefighters, I'm just joking, but Pop and I've known each other for 20 years, you can tell them I said that. But bottom line is that I think it does not help this organization if we say we're gonna protect reserve funds and then we're gonna go back to member organizations and ask them to do a budget adjustment now, when in the end game, we're gonna ask them for a much bigger adjustment through their normal budgetary process when they're adopting the budget. That's why I believe this is the way to go. So I am all on board with respect to doing the emergency hire, you going forward with internal recruitments, because I think that does save money, that gets us there sooner than later. I think you've shown there is a slight savings with about $15,000-$16,000. And then not only this board, but the member agencies then when they go through their budgeting, we'll have a chance to take a look at the use of reserve funds. And I understand the trade-off. If we're zeroing out or reducing it significantly, then if something else, emergency happens, then what do we do? I got it. I was the president of the Regional Transit Authority when they came to us and said the six buses that were serving the county all needed new engines, and we literally had to spend, damn near the entire reserve funds. So I'm getting the sense that we're sort of at that point now. So that's really the compromise situation. I believe that if we can use the funds that we have now, let's get to hiring 3 full-time firefighters. We then have a chance to go back and talk to the member agencies and say, here's the long-term plan of where we're going with this. So I really believe that we are needing to do this for not only from public safety, but obviously firefighter safety is really critical. I would suggest that we move forward with, I think that was with the second scenario, and I understand the challenges for member agencies, but I think in light of where we are today, to me it makes better sense. And then I would also say, while I understand the need to continue to recruit for the reserve firefighters, I think as we start to build a budget, we're going to have to figure out what that budget looks like, because using money that's remaining in this fiscal year to hire 3 full-time equivalents, then what do the line item budgets look like next year? Are we converting that, the line item for overtime, is it going to be less? Is the line item for reserve going to be less? We're going to have to figure out what that looks like when we start the budget. But it sounds like there's an urgent need now. And so I hope we can find a way to do that. And then I've always said, and there's a critical conversation, I think we are at a point in this agency's history of having critical conversations with member agencies, and so we got to figure out what that looks like. That's
my comments for now. And I'll support what you say, because I do think it's, if we got it, spend it. Because we need it now. We don't, I mean, and you know, I'm just so you know that Oceano will only come up with what Oceano legally can come up with.
And I would say the question that I would ask Oceano is that perhaps, is there a legal limit or maximum that can be spent on fire? I think that's a question that you all have to ask.
Well, we know that.
Well, I don't know what that number is. So I think that would be nice for us to know, because there does need to be those critical conversations.
Yeah, we can. It's in our budget, and our two-year budget. Yeah.
But we know you have a very experienced administrator or manager. I think presenting this information hopefully can help come up with a positive solution.
He would be happy to. And, I was the one who even supported Oceana Station being closed if it had to be.
I know you did.
So I mean, I'm all for, but it's just, looking down the road, there is going to have to be something else done to fund this fire department.
I agree.
I think in reality, there is going to be.
Well, I agree, Karen, I think, but what we're talking about is,
today,
in the interim, what are we doing from the top, the moment we have those critical conversations and a long-term plan is laid out, and what does this organization look like?
Well,
we're not going to jump to 2020, so maybe we need to figure out how do we sustain, or actually, I'm not even sustain. We really need to improve what we have and get to a point where we can talk about sustainability.
Yeah.
So I think using our fund balance, I understand the arguments. I understand that we're in critical need. It's kind of like, you know, what do you do if your, you know, transmission in your car, you know, breaks down and you have savings and you really don't want to use it for that, but you got to get to work. So you deplete your reserves balance to get that, and you kind of hope and pray that, you know, nothing else happens and things go on. But I don't think it's prudent, and I don't think it's good practice. And my concern about the fund balance, especially because of, you know, the things that were outlined, the unforeseen things that were outlined on page 2. I'm concerned about quality of life issues. All of those things that are unforeseen makes it very precarious for me to want to support spending down our fund balance. Because basically what it does, it just postpones, in my opinion, the need to go back April 1st or whatever it is, still in between budget, to ask for more revenues for our agencies, because we literally have no money for anything else. And so if that's the direction of the board, or the majority of the board, we need to, we're burning daylight, as they say, by, you know, talking about future projections when we're dealing with what we're, you know, dealing with right now, which is the concern about vacancies being filled at an extended period of time by personnel that are already pulling a full load in a position where, you know, there's literally life and death situations going on. So I don't know if I'm willing to face the microphone. The microphone test is what I call, how I call it, that you mean to say that you had to spend down the fund balance and now you're coming back because you need another, you know, 200,000 or whatever it might be because X, Y, and Z occurred internally that we couldn't control. I guess that's how we just roll it out then. So then when does it come a time where, well, what do you have control of? It's just not a good way, you know, to do business.
I agree. However, what do you control on this board?
So just because we have our budgets loaded on all of our agencies through June 30th and we have this fund balance. So is it the intent then during our budget discussions that you're going to ask your agencies to help repair that fund balance so we have a reserve?
Yes.
You need to keep a fire department on the field. And that's kind of where we are. To keep men in the trucks, keep the money in the bank. To me, that's a pretty simple solution.
Okay, I'm done.
I mean, I'll take that to the microphone. Anyway.
I think the tough part is really, we should probably have graphics on the wall. Not to be a little outy to make sense. Graphics on the wall would be great. I think the difficulty is that while we've got it in our staff report, and it looks like, and thank you for putting these budget projections, it's almost like we probably need to start building out next year's budget, because I don't see what the number is on the actual number we had actually budgeted for. I know she had all of this, but I mean, obviously, we all should look at this at the same time, that basically, what was the overtime line item last year? What does that look like as we start to transition? What was the line item for reserves last year? So maybe it's not a question of going back and asking for money to help fill up the reserves, but it's a matter of we're going to be going to our respective agencies, I would hope, to say, you know, we've done the first where we've got three full-time equivalents, and so next year, we're looking for money not for three, but maybe it's 4.5. I mean, it's really difficult to put this together in a comprehensive manner that literally says we're converting reserve remaining funds for the last 6 months of this fiscal year, and then we still have to roll that those full-time equivalents into the next year. So what is the total amount? So that total amount may end up being a little more, and then three new ones. So we're going to have that conversation sooner than later. And then I think, Chief, you talked about using conservative measures and you're estimating at engineer level to cover the remaining shifts. But if there are reserves that are available, you would use, I would think, there would be a practical application. You're budgeting conservatively, but there could be a practical application. So there could be additional more funds left. We just don't know, but that's what budgets are all about, projections. So your district. Well, I guess we shouldn't keep talking since she left the room.
You don't have a quorum at the moment.
Pay 14%.
you have to talk to him, you have to talk to Debbie.
Debbie is saying that we're gonna come at you right to tell her this issue.
While we're on recess.
I think.
Mr. Hale.
Yeah.
We want to have the discussion that.
We sort of had a sidebar and understand what the, what board member Scholes was just articulating. But one of the things that drives a lot of these factors, potential options, is the fact that we do have an outstanding position from CalPERS that we cannot use these firefighters, reserve firefighters in excess of 1,000 hours without triggering potential retirement benefits. To the extent you do, which we are doing, then the reality is that there is potentially a savings, but that savings is net of that additional, that cost is net of that additional or savings of the additional retirement that is going to be imposed upon the authority to cover those expenses for those six firefighters. So you don't really have a true complete savings, but we don't know what that number is at the moment.
Well, I appreciate that, because $15,000, $16,000 is not savings to me. While it looks good, I can say it's a black number, I understand it's nominal, it's negligible. I'm not, so it's, yes, I'm still grounded in reality.
Well, I think we're in agreement regarding the alternative, which would be to move forward sooner rather than later on alternative two. I'm still not wedded on the fact of the fund balance, but we need to move this forward. So if someone wants to go ahead and make a motion, then I don't know if there's any other additional discussion that we need before moving, make a motion, and if we need discussion on the motion, then we can do that too. But I think we have, do you concur that we agree that the alternative two and getting the three FTEs sooner rather than later is what we need to do?
Well, I think we're in agreement on that.
Well, then I'll acquiesce to that, because that's the most important thing.
Well, I think we need to figure out how we're going to fund it. So, and your suggestion is to leave the fund. Your thought is to leave the fund balance.
Yeah, it's unrealistic to do that. I mean, to me, it's realistic to do that, but it would require something that would require us going back to our respective agencies and asking for the additional revenues. From what I'm hearing from my other board members is that we have the revenues already in this current fiscal year. It's called the fund balance, and we could make this alternative two work by putting that piece into play. So if that's what needs to move this forward to get the start of whatever relief, then I think that we need to do that. It would also take off the table any needed discussion at this time anyway, at least for Aurora Grande City Council to have a agenda item, because I would not be asking at this time for any more appropriations from my agency. So I certainly get all that. I also think that we need to talk about this agency sustainability, and it's kind of like the elephant in the room, and I'm sorry, but I'm very frustrated that we're still here 3 years later. We've done a lot of good work, and I understand, at least in my perspective, we've plugged holes, you know, equipment, the increase in pay and getting a three-year contract and all of those things. Those were priorities that we identified. I understand that. But after 3 years, we need to have the big grown-up conversations. Oceano, you know, is going to be looking at their realistic contributions that they can make to this agency, or we got to go to Plan B. So that's the level of my frustration at this time, because we have staff that are just sticking to it, and God bless them for it. But my gut's telling me that we got to, July 1, go to our agencies and say, cut us a check for $900,000 and let's stop dinking around, okay? And that's obvious, but I got to get that out because my head's going to explode. So let's go ahead and make a motion.
So Barbara, just so you know, I am on board with that. That's exactly what we're going to have to do, and that's exactly what I'm talking about, the political computations and that. Even before July 1.
Way before July 1.
Way before July 1. Every member agency is going to have to say, yes, we can contribute, or no, we can't. And then that really means, what do we do?
Or yes, we change the organization.
And we need to get our exec team, our managers around the table on a quarterly or a monthly basis to keep them informed. This is a critical situation right now. And now that we have full exec team, nobody's interim, people have been on board in their positions, we need, at least in my opinion, a full support of management, and they need to step up to the plate also and find out in their priorities and resources for all of our agencies how we can make this work, or we can't make it work, but we can't continue to patch.
Agreed.
All right. I'm going to hold you guys to it then.
Well, I think that's part of your, that's part of your direction.
Excuse me. I think Oceana's already started working on it. Just because we don't have much money doesn't mean we aren't concerned.
Understood.
You know. And yes, I will find out exactly how much money we could possibly donate to this.
Angela, okay. You either continue what we're doing today and say let's have a major meeting in January, or we take. I mean, it's a huge commitment, and I understand, Barbara. I would not be suggesting this any other time. I just feel like if it's going to be an ask, it's going to be a big ask of member agencies. And that actually, those discussions probably start in February, if not sooner. And at the end of the day, sustainability of this organization, firefighter safety, public safety, if we have one member agency who's saying, hey, we can't afford it, then that does mean what are the alternatives?
It's not that we can't afford it. We just don't have any money.
Well, okay. So
don't make it sound like we're not contributing what we have.
No, I'm not. Well, okay.
Honestly.
I'm not saying you're not, Karen. What I'm really am saying is that I think we are at a point where, and I'll just say, let me back up. When this was first brought to Grover Beach, Jesus, I think it's 2007 when we first made our decision to go from volunteer and paper call to professional. Mr. Hamp, he's not here, I can pick him up, said, hey, you're never going to get to the point where you're going to have the number of staff or firefighters that you really need to meet certain standards. And therefore, we recommend you change and implement a fire sprinkler ordinance. You know, two cities that being instituted fire sprinkler ordinance, which today we're still dealing with on a standpoint of people want to invest in our communities, and we thought that was going to be a way to minimize impacts on staffing. Clearly, that's not the case any longer. So I'm coming forward and saying, yes, we believe there is a need, and we need to find a way to fund this. And so everyone is going to pay their proportionate and their fair share. And if any one of us can't, that's a whole different discussion and conversation that needs to be had now. We can't do it today fully, but that means if it's January or it's February, we're at a critical point. We're at a critical conversation. But I'm not going, at least from my standpoint, you've identified we have an urgent, pressing need, and I believe that while I wouldn't normally suggest using reserve funds for ongoing personal expenses, I think your arguments that you made at the last meeting changed my mind to say, yes, this is emergency need, and basically we have control of these funds, but I haven't gone to the member agencies. But the next ask, we go back to our member agencies and be for it, a huge commitment that's in line with, I'm not going to say the 12, but certainly in line with getting the 3 and the additional, and then 2020 is a whole different ballgame and discussion, but we do need to have a master plan. So I understand these are, this is a tough decision. You can tell that just the conversation we're having up here today.
Well, then I'll move to direct the fire chief to fill available reserve firefighter shifts with available personnel and to initiate an emergency recruitment to hire 3 firefighter, 2 positions in the current fiscal year, and of course, without saying, to actively continue to recruit the reserve firefighter program.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Madam Chair, just a point of clarification from staff based on the motion. Completely understand the motion as presented. My question is, the scenario is we would onboard personnel in this current fiscal year. Obviously, staff would be interested in what's going to happen in July 1 of 2018. Is there going to be an ongoing commitment to sustain these personnel as we're drawing down the fund balance?
I would say yes.
I would say yes.
I would say yes, of course.
It's not part of the motion, but yes.
Thank you.
I think because that was the other part of putting together a master plan that identified where we were trying to go, and that means a commitment from the member agencies. And then if we're really looking at a measure of some sort in 2020, I think this starts to build on what's going to be needed to have the discussion with the LAFCO and the community.
Can we make that direction as part of the motion?
What did you just say?
Whatever he just said.
So basically, to amend the motion to include the statement that in addition to moving forward in this emergency basis for this fiscal year, that these positions would be sustained in projections for the July 1st, 2018 budget.
Yes.
All in favor?
Yes. Yes, the second.
Okay, yes. All in favor of the amended motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Moves carried 2-1.
That's a budget amendment.
It is unanimous, but it's fine. It's fine.
And I will say, you know, when the JPA was established.
What are you talking about, just the personnel based on the motion that they've given you down here?
What was the situation?
Okay. We understand. We understand. And
I can't keep making something I can't do.
Fair enough. I mean, and we respect your right to do that.
Yeah.
That's the conversation.
Okay.
So are you clear
on what?
If I could just inject a last staff comment into this item. Appreciate the motion. Trisha's recorded it. We have clear direction. The 5-year strategic plan that the board adopted does have this information in there. We've tuned up some of the financial impacts based on what we've learned since the adoption of the strategic plan. But we clearly are ready to assist each board member in going to your communities when you provide that direction to us.
Very good. What are you doing in January?
Moving on to new business, there is none. Board member item.
None for me.
Not for me.
None for me. Fire chief fighter.
I was going to read you the latest update from the crew in Southern California. So OES 386, it's staffed with Captain Patrick Ferguson, Engineer Michael Lopresti, firefighters Daniel Densmore and Stephen Hensley. As you know, they've been down there since last Monday evening. They were part of the massing of fire personnel and apparatus at the base of the hills in Montecito yesterday afternoon when they were worried about the sundowner winds. They saw active fire with winds that diminished about 3 a.m. They came off the line today, and they're heading back to Solvang for their 24-hour rest period. They worked 24 hours on, and then they were off for 24 hours. And they were part of that move to the Kachuma area for a base camp. They've done well. Everyone's in good spirits, obviously, when we heard about the fatality yesterday. Captain Ferguson had the intuition to have every crew member check in with their families. So he's doing a good job.
General counsel items?
None at this time.
Board communications?
One of the things I'm thinking is we do need to figure out how to generate additional revenue beyond going back to the member agencies every time we need money and asking dad or mom for money. We've always talked about coming in, becoming independent, but I think there may be, we need to take a look at what are other potentials for generating revenue, whether that is through impact fees or other sources that are services being provided to member agencies. So perhaps we should have an agenda item before the board to have that conversation. I think there's always things that need to be looked at in total. So we made a commitment, but we also need to find that if there are other opportunities to generate revenues to start replenishing reserve funds or remaining balance, or whatever you want to call it, sooner than later, or to help enhance the service that's been provided to our community. So there's a.
I would support that being put on the agenda for January.
I don't know if January works, but thank you.
Well.
Discussion. Okay. So.
I guess for me on that, it goes back to, I don't know, maybe focusing on those questions that you brought up related to the budget. Related to the line item, you know, with the reserve and the overtime that you had mentioned, and taking a look at that. My concern about your proposal, although I think it's a prudent one, is it going to result in more empty discussion? If we don't know, we have the preliminaries, and these are conservative estimates of what we are gearing up to for 2020, however that works out. And so, if we layer it with that additional discussion without really knowing what these budget numbers are, then how do we kind of tease out whatever other revenue generation can be made? So that would be, we can certainly have the discussion, but that would be kind of where I'm at right now based on our discussion today. Is January prudent? Is February, more prudent? I don't know, John.
Thank you for that, because I would just say that, maybe the question becomes to the chief and Deb as to when they would anticipate starting to build out budget for the next fiscal year. And maybe that's a more prudent time to have the conversation.
And that would be, so as that process takes place, because there is always already time allocated for that, Ms. Malikop has to do that work. That is it more appropriate to do that as a sidebar to that instead of having a separate item where we can look at it as a totality so we can really drill down and take any advantage that we can? And then the question would then be posed to Treasurer Malico related to, is that a prudent, kind of like two-pronged approach to, looking at that budget? Would that be appropriate?
I think that's appropriate.
Exactly.
I think that's appropriate.
Okay.
And then the last thing I would just say is that I understand the uneasiness in the direction. But I mean, even with the emergency issue and bringing someone on board, I think you're talking about internal recruitment, you're still talking about April, May. So it's not like you're going to go out and take the money and just spend it, because there's a process that's going to be on that you've got to go through. So the window of, let's say, having exposure to risk is less. It probably becomes more of a 1 to 2 month window, not a true 6 month window. So these are all pieces that are the complexity of the discussions we're having.
Okay.
Okay.
So is there clarity on that?
That as part of the budgeting, normal budgeting process, we can have that conversation.
Okay. Two of us shall speak. Thank you.
Steve, Dev, Steve. No.
Okay. And technically, we need to adjourn this meeting and call for the next meeting.
We do? Meeting?
Yes.
I need 5 minutes of your time.
Can we just stay here?
You can just stay here. I think the other room is getting occupied at the moment.
Okay, well, I would like to. Motion to adjourn this meeting.
Second.